Thanks for downloading Scott Harold's podcast. If you use a smart speaker, you can always ask Alexa to enable the SOS radio skill.
America's a land of opportunity, and most of us grew up having some form of the American dream in our minds. We're talking with John Kingston today at SOS Radio about our dreams. I mean, he had a ton of success in corporate America by being a top executive at one of the largest investment firm companies in America. And although he achieved everything he really set out to do in the job professionally, it just kind of felt like there was a little more. And John's hanging out with us today on SOS Radio sharing his story. How are you?
Hey, Scott, thanks for having me on. Thank you to all your listeners for the chance to speak with you all today.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you go to college, you get into your job, you think about that American dream, and maybe it's the pursuit of happiness. Maybe it's about owning your first home. Maybe it's about going to college and being that first person in your family. But what did the American dream look like to you when you were younger, John?
I grew up in a very working class, small town America. I'm in my mid-50s. So that the era I was growing up in was the early 70s. It was a world in which, you didn't have an open vista imagination of the world, not naturally, because, you know, you have three television shows and you live in a small town. It was, hard work. You know, my dad was a middle school teacher and my mom stayed at home with us. And, you know, in order to heat the house in the early 70s, like some of your listeners out there can't believe that I'm talking about like an era in which human beings existed in the last half century. But we went out in the woods and chopped wood to keep our house warm in the winter time because, you know, the energy crisis, gas prices, it's skyrocketed. And I was, 9 years old out doing that. And that was kind of like normal life. It wasn't extraordinary, right? It was kind of, what normal folks were doing. And that was where normal life was. To answer your question, I didn't dream about like, wow, gosh, I'm going to do great things, that will be American dream-like specifically. My parents just taught me, love of God, first and foremost. They taught me my faith, love of country, love of neighbor as yourself. So it's more like who you're supposed to be than what you're going to achieve is what I took away from my childhood. And then, the translation effect for me was just God put something in my heart about who I was supposed to be and where I was supposed to go. And off I went from my small town living and off to big cities and fancy Ivy League schools for college and law school at Harvard. And then, on to, as you mentioned before, being successful in the investment world. But it wasn't like what I was thinking I was trying to do exactly, if that makes sense to you, Scott. Mm-hmm. Wasn't like, oh, I want to go and make a lot of money. It was more just like step after step after step after step, which was the outpouring, of the basic building blocks my parents had given me. Again, love of God, love of country, love your family, love your neighbor as yourself. So those building blocks, ultimately turned into something.
We have a love of God. We have a love of country. We talk about the American dream and the pursuit of happiness. We sort of get twisted sometimes. I'm Scott on SOS Radio. We're talking with John Kingston today. He's an author, a lawyer, and also a businessman. He's worked at some of the largest investment firms in the country. He's worked in the business situations. He's been to the top, but he's also felt like, it wasn't as fulfilling as I thought. And John actually wrote a book really just digging into the American awakening. And John, there's like a soul to our country, right? We think about our souls in the faithscape, but there's something that's deeper than just money and power and pressure and success. What do you see when you look at the soul of America, John?
Wow, Scott. Yeah, that was exactly what prompted me to write this book. I ran for the United States Senate in 2017, 2018. And when I was out there doing thousands of meetings with the folks, I just felt something that was beyond the reach of politics and the public square. I felt something, fear and pain and sadness, and that was translating into anger in public life. What occurred to me was 150,000 deaths of despair last year in America. There are as many deaths of despair, people dying of alcohol, drug overdose, and suicide last year in America as have died to date this year in coronavirus. It's just set it in context. People killing themselves at rates that were staggering, life expectancy going down in the U.S. before coronavirus because people are killing themselves out of not knowing how to live in America, anxiety, depression, loneliness, isolation, spiking in every demographic. Sort of explored it with people. I realized there's just something off in who we are right now and what we're doing together and collectively. There's something wrong with the way we're living together and living individually as children of God. And that catalyzes the concept for the book and the idea of like, well, we can go back to time-honored principles that can get us back on track. And, you know, this was written through 2019. I knew 2020 was going to be bad because of the election cycle, you know, for Americans. But I don't have a crystal ball. I didn't know it was going to be this bad. It's really bad out there. You know, coronavirus and the election pain and suffering, you know, the tearing apart of our fabric, the racial reckoning in the last couple of months in America. 80% of Americans believe that the country is spiraling out of control now, as of a poll a handful of weeks ago, NBC and Wall Street Journal. So that's what I was tapping into last year and before on the campaign trail. And now it's gotten dialed up to, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's dialed up to 11 right now in people's hearts. The sense that something's off. Mm-hmm. And that goes to your soul point, right? There is a soul in each one of us. There's a soul of a community. There's a soul of all of us together. And something's broken in that soul right now. We can find our way back. That's the whole storyline. This is not a tale of lament and like there are no answers. This is like there are answers. We know what they are. We just have to remember them.
We're talking about an American awakening on SOS Radio. Don't we need some more of that right now? We're talking with author John Kingston. He's a lawyer, investment banker. I'll tell you what, John, in your new book, you talk about how there's a lot of despair and division in our country. But what are some of the best ways to break through that and make it more about us than just them?
Yeah. So the arc of the book goes from basic building blocks about who you are as children of God and as citizens of this country, yourself as yourself, you know, understand that you're made with purpose and meaning and significance. God's got you on the planet for a reason. I find that so many people, you know, wrestle with that every day. They wake up every day and they're not sure why they're here. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they have to add. And of course, you know, those of us of faith know, even if some of us of faith are experiencing that, we fundamentally know we have an anchoring point. And so starting with that anchoring point that you're here for purpose and meaning and significance, that is an enormous building block for everybody. Then you move on to beyond that concept to what do we do when we face challenges out there? We're all going to face challenges. We're all facing challenges now. What is it you do yourself? And you realize that adversity that's placed in your past is something which God has brought to you to shape you, to make you into somebody that he wants you to be. So effectively, it's redeeming our adversity. Realizing, you know, getting more stuff or running faster is not the be all and end all, that, you know, realizing that God's got enough for us as we are where we are. So that's the category of starting with you, because if you're not like anchored yourself, you're not going to be a good person, you know, in community. You're going to get thrown by the image. This is all very, you know, sort of what we've been taught in our faith forever, right? You know, so ancient learning from Christian faith. You know, unless you know who you are as a child of God, you know, unless you love God, love your neighbor as yourself, these are concepts which are all inherently centering as our being children of God, then you're not going to enter into the community effectively. So you first got to start there. You can't sprint through to like, you know, how I'll be a better member of my community and how I can get on better. But you got to start in that anchoring spiritual renewal space for yourself.
We get ourselves in a healthy place, and then we want to reach out, and then we talk, and we talk again, and we talk again. And then it's easy to get recentered on ourselves, and we've got to remember, it's so important to remember that God has also wired up all these other people that have different ideas that we do and have different backgrounds that we do. And God created them with a purpose, and he's given them giftings and talents, and we have to respect that and listen.
Exactly. Now we're talking about how we live in community. First of all, the living in like small community, you need other human beings. Just, you know, accept the fact that we can't live isolated. You know, the idea that like somehow Facebook friends sitting in your room binging Netflix is an equivalent for actually, you know, a thriving and flourishing life together is a false one. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with those things inherently. It's just that they're not replacements for the real meaning that comes from people who live together in community. So the second portion of the book is a lot about life together. You need human beings. You need to live in community. You need to share your highs and lows. You need to have small groups of human beings to whom you are committed and they're committed to you. And it's an instructional manual on how to achieve just that. But then you go big. Then you go really big. And Scott, you nailed it, right? The idea is that God created us in his image. But when he created us in his image, He didn't create, it's not like Scott is the totality of God's image, you know, nor is John. What's amazing about this is he made us all capturing some dimension of who he is. So God, in the creation story, he says, you know, God created us in our self's image, because he was already talking about the Trinity. The love of God exists in community, exists with all of us contributing. And so now to the point you were just raising, Scott, the idea is that that person who believes something much different than I do, who's had much different life experiences from me, is no less made in God's image than I am, right? Now, in the moment, I mean, let's just be clear, right? All of us, our synapses are firing. You're like, they've got it totally wrong. They're just thinking about life the wrong way. You know, but they've got a child of God story, which is every bit as significant as your child of God story. And so somehow or other, we have to re-reckon, we have to re-baseline to recapture the soul of America, to re-reckon and re-baseline on the idea that, like, there's 330 million Americans. They're all children of God. And that, now let's go really big, Scott, really big, and sort of American ideals here. That concept that we're all children of God is what gave us the baseline for that amazing commitment in our first governing document, the Declaration, all are created equal.
When we talk about an American awakening and we talk about awakening the soul of America, a lot of people automatically want to jump and make something political, or they want to make it religious. And it's interesting. We're talking with John Kingston. He's actually a lawyer by trade and businessman by experience. I mean, he went to Harvard Law. He's actually run for U.S. Senate. John, what have you learned about talking about issues without making this a political thing? Because there are biblical values that we all have in agreement, whether we lean left or we lean right.
So the way I modeled it in my campaign was that I built a management team that was young and old. The management team was young and old and black and white and Latino and Asian in the management team. But even more importantly, it was Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party. Those are my management team. Because basically when it gets down to it, we're all Americans and these are American problems. They're not Republican problems or Democratic problems. Anything that's big out there, no one of us can solve it on our own. When the problem gets big enough, it's unsolvable in isolation. You know, it wasn't like in World War II, we were battling with Hitler and the Third Reich. The Republicans only can solve that one, or the Democrats only can solve that. No. It was an American issue. The bigger the problem, the more we need to come together. You can make your judgments about whether coronavirus qualifies by that scale, but you know what? It's not a Republican issue. It's not a Democratic issue. It's an American issue. You know, it's something which we fight together. And you could say that along any different axis, whatever you think about the changing of the climate and its significance, whatever you think about the enormity of our debt, you know, $27 trillion and counting, someday that's going to have to be addressed. Whatever you think about the perils of big technology, you know, I mean, there's not one sort of brand of solution which works. It's somehow it's a collaborative and collective one, combining the wisdom fused in from many, many different people, looking at it from different perspectives, and all of us owning the problem and solving it jointly. And that only comes when you're infused with God's vision for this, that you see it as like everybody's got a part of this thing, right? That's God's vision, right? Everybody's part of the solution set. You know, everybody's part of it. He loves everybody. He loves every single American equally. And when any one of us, particularly as a person of faith, leans into these problems, we have to lean into these problems with our recognition, our souls renewed with the understanding that God sees everybody as his child, loves them all the same way. We can't treat them any differently than God wants to treat them, even if we want to. I mean, believe me, you know, plenty of times any one of us is understandably tempted to act otherwise. But when we do that, we're acting, you know, out of accordance with what God asks us to do.
We're talking about a more united country and how it's actually possible today with John Kingston on SWS Radio. He's a lawyer and a businessman. He's worked in the investment banking world. And John, you wrote a book called American Awakening. And basically, it's about really restoring the soul of America. And in the book, you say a more united country is truly possible, but it starts with us. There's no them. It has to be us. But what do you suggest for breaking through like division and despair so we can actually cultivate some real togetherness when our country just doesn't want to be together right now?
Yeah, I think that it is very easy for any one of us to give in to the despair. And I'm going to speak to your listeners as people of faith and say that despair is the work of our spiritual adversary. That's darkness, which is not ultimately accurate. We believe that God's in charge. God's ultimately got this. God's ultimately going to bring us through to a time where we're all brought together in heaven, right? That's what we believe. We believe that's our storyline. So if we're giving in to like, wow, this is so bad. I mean, believe me, I'm not trying to give anybody a hard time about feeling that way about it being bad. It is bad. There's a reason why people are feeling, 80% of the people are feeling the country spiraling out of control. As I mentioned a moment ago for the recent poll, there's a reason they're feeling that way, but you can't anchor there. You have to lift your eyes heavenward and toward the God of the universe who can set all this to right. And then you have to realize, you know, you are here to add into that great storyline. You know, you're here for a purpose. You're here for, you know, meaning. You're significant. You've got gifts. Whoever you are out there listener, you've got gifts that Scott doesn't have, and you've got gifts that I don't have. I need your gifts, you know, to make this a great country. And make your community a great community. Scott needs your gifts. Scott needs my gifts. I need Scott's gifts. Number one is don't give in to despair. Know that you're here for that purpose. Number two is start to see through the prism as God sees people. But ultimately, if you know who you are as a child of God, you know, you'll get back to saying, okay, you know what? That person's got a take on it, but I know I'm loved and I know that person's loved. And when each one of us, especially as people of faith, I mean, I just say we got to start a spiritual awakening with people who understand a loving God is in charge of all this and loves them and has a role for them in the whole thing. So if it doesn't start with us, who's it going to start with, right?
Talking to John Kingston today at SWS Radio on American Awakening is his new book. It's 8 Principles to Restore the Soul of America. Thanks for checking in with us today, John.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Scott, for the time. Thank you out there, everybody, all your listeners. Hang in there. These are tough days, but keep fighting the good fight. God's in charge. He's got you. He loves you. And we're going to make it through this stuff.
Thanks for streaming Scott Harrell's podcast from SOS Radio.
If you're one of our regular listeners,
would you consider giving it a 5-star rating?
It really helps spread the word.